I might win with this cast, you know. I can whack you pretty hard with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I proudly present to you, for your listening pleasure, We Heart Music Radio. Brought to you by the good people at WeHeartMusic.com.
Hi, this is Bo with We Heart Music Radio, and today we have a special South by Southwest 2018. All right.
I'm Brody McCoy, writer for We Heart Music.
I'm Michael Thomas. I'm with Music for Listeners.
I'm Leo Canine with Canine Records from Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn. All right.
Hopefully if Orly shows up, we can add him to the show, but at the moment it's just us, and just going to do just a quick intro of South by Southwest. This is obviously everybody knows what that is. It's in Austin, Texas. A million band shows up every year around March-ish. I think this year is March 9th to the 18th I believe they recently started to add in comedy to that expansive lineup of just interactive music and now comedy.
And film.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, I forget. Yeah. I always forget about that. But
next year it's going to be Mexican food tasting.
Oh, yeah, tacos. So, yeah, last year, it seems like really big acts like Garth Brooks, Lana Del Rey, Willie Nelson, among many people that played in 2017. But this year seems like the big names aren't there. Was that still a problem, or were just fewer people showing up, or what was the readout from previous South by Southwest?
I actually, from a label perspective, think that it's better when the big names aren't there. I think a couple of reasons. One, takes the focus away from what it should be. We're discovering new music and a sense of real music lovers coming together and being able to meet in smaller environments and actually like express ideas and exchange like, you know, contact information and like make contacts for, you know, your bands via managers, booking agents, other labels around the world, et cetera. And when you have like the bigger artists like Beck or Snoop Dogg performing, it tends to also draw, you know, just normal concert goers who don't care about seeing any new acts. They don't even want to know who they are, you know, and they're there more just to party and disrupt the whole environment that it's really meant for. So,
yeah, I totally agree with that statement as well. I think you're there to focus, network with people, and find all the best new bands out there. And if you're going there to see some band you've already seen five times, you might as well just go see them in your home state, you know?
Yeah. And I know South By started doing that to bring more money to the community as a whole, but I don't think Austin has a problem with making money. So, you know, they can sacrifice like that time for us to really be there. And like, even like I've seen the years when it started slowing down with less sponsors, so the less big acts came. I mean, the places are still making money. The shows are still crowded. The streets are still full. And, you know, hotels are still packed. And even by going this year, I see like more and more hotels being built. So it's definitely not an issue. I think with anything, not having the big acts actually brings in more people from around the world to want to come to this.
Michael, was that the case with as far as crowd?
Well, I'll have to be honest. I mean, for the past really 6-7 years, I haven't really done South by Southwest proper because Music for Listeners isn't really a money-making thing. I mean, if Orlando and I owned our own label like Leo does, I mean, we would probably use it more for that sort of networking and that sort of thing, because that's why labels go to South by Southwest. They want to network and do that sort of thing. With Music for Listeners, we're a radio show. So we're a small radio show in San Antonio. We're on late night. You know, we don't have a huge brand. but we're known for good quality bands playing our parties over the past 10 years. We've kind of gained that reputation. So that's, you know, through me and Orlando, I mean, mostly Orly, because I trust him to book a lot of the bands. And, you know, I'll give my yes or no on certain bands, but I'll also, you know, just go with whatever he books on a lot of occasions, just because I know he really likes the band. And then I will say at least 95% of the time over the past 10 years, we've had like nearly 250 bands play for us. And I would say 95% of the time, if I don't really know the band very well, the band is incredible live. That is really, you know, something that I really obviously trust Orlando on a lot more on over the years. But, you know, I think in the first couple of years, it was me and him kind of throwing our picks, because obviously the lists start coming out and then we pick our favorite bands who we want to have at our parties. And then I don't really even go to South by Southwest anymore. I mean, all the bands come to us that we want to see. So I love South by Southwest, and obviously we couldn't have these parties without South by Southwest. You know, South by Southwest is an important feature of having the parties. I mean, so
Leo and I pulled up a lawn chair and we were good. We were good to go at his parties.
Well, I mean, there's so many parties.
Yeah.
There's so many parties. There's so many gigs. There's so many bands to see. And, you know, it used to be a thing where me and Orly would just go and run all the time and get interviews and network with bands. But then when we started having parties, it kind of changed and the band started coming to us and we were doing some interviews, but it was more just a showcase of, you know, the bands that we wanted to have play for us and the bands that would play for us. But, you know, Leo's right, though. I mean, South by Southwest got, I think, a little too big. And then when it started kind of coming back a little bit more to the independent side of things, it became much more interesting. And I'll have to say, I mean, South by Southwest is one of the few things that Austin can claim to be the live music capital of the world.
Just talking about your shows that you and Orly have put on over the years. You guys had your 10-year anniversary this year. You guys do a really cool 180 show. Can you just kind of break down everything you've done? And I'll just real quick get it out of the way first. My favorite story I like to tell, and when I'm getting people to come to your parties, I'll be honest, I use it as a little bit of a draw, but y'all booked Mumford & Sons at your very first party for free at a Pizza House. That's got to be a pretty good feeling.
Well, it was, you know, nobody knew who the band was.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. You know, we
definitely wasn't pizza.
Well, that was it. You know, we got the band to play for pizza and beer, but they were very happy that we were playing them on the radio. And, you know, only 100 people showed up to that. One of them happened to be Brody. You know, that's where we met, essentially, was at that party. You know, it was nice to have Laura Marling and Bombay Bicycle Club, Django Django, The Wedding Present, Laura Contrell, all these really great bands. You know, again, we've had almost 250 bands, so it's impossible to list them all. But we've had so many great bands over the years, and some of them have gone on to bigger things, and some of them I wish would have gone on to bigger things.
But it's exactly what you just mentioned, where you said they only play to 100 people, but it's those 100 capacity shows that make something like South by so special. And not only that, but like events like yours, where it's well coordinated and like curated, where you, like guys like me are going to want to go because I know like that the lineup's going to be really sick and I'm going to meet like my people who are there for a similar thing, Like, you would have never met Brody if you didn't do these things, you know? It was events like that that bring us together and make South By so important. There were years that I couldn't get bands to come play South By anymore because it was getting too big. They're frustrated. Oh, I can't compete. Interpol's playing on that stage. No one's going to come see me. The Strokes are at Stubbs. There's no point. But because they stopped doing that, you know, now people from bands and labels from the world are coming back. And they're enjoying it again because they're getting that chance to make those interactions that they need.
I would also add to that, Leo, that downtown 6th Street has now moved to East 6th Street. Yeah. So yeah. That in itself is actually helping South by Southwest in a lot of ways, too, because it's out of the central part of downtown. And it's hard to get around that part of town because there's so many closures and, you know, even, you know, just grabbing a bus or the light rail or whatnot. But, you know, I commend Leo for hobbling around South by Southwest, man. That's just craziness to be.
It wasn't easy.
I bet. It was cool, though, that you got a wheelchair through some of it, too, though.
Yeah.
It's motivating all the music fans out there.
My roommates were totally awesome.
Crutches and still rock it out.
Yeah, my roommates were totally awesome the first 3 days. And then after that, they're like, oh, we're tired of pushing you. And I was like, fair enough.
But the lift prices were very cheap.
Yeah, actually, was nice. Since you bring that Lyft up, they were kicked out. Uber and Lyft were kicked out last year. Was that not the case this year?
No, I mean,
we were taking Lyfts everywhere.
They were really cheap and really fast. I didn't wait more than 2 minutes for a car anywhere I was.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That's surprising.
Oh, so fast. And like the drivers are super sweet. We're even helping me in the car and helping me out. And like, you know, like it was amazing.
Did they have like a ton of cars? I mean, did they have like 50, 60 cars going essentially?
Yeah. When you turn on the app, it was like millions of cars everywhere.
Wow. That's
all hours
wild.
Of the day and night. Yeah.
That's wild.
Two on just Michael's party, because I know we got to hit Attack Canine because Leo's got a family to get back to. But just talk about Michael also, how you guys have been at a few different venues a little bit further outside the city. Now you guys are kind of almost right in the heart of downtown at this beautiful place called Lazarus Brewery that you have locked in next year. Got to meet that owner. Seems like a great guy.
Christian,
it's gotta be a good feeling too.
Christian is one cool dude. I'll say that. He's a really nice guy. I was quite surprised to learn that he was a pastor, but that's I think that's a great thing actually in the end, because I walked in there on a Sunday and he said, the person in charge there said, well, he's not here on a Sunday cause he's a pastor. And I was like, well, he owns a brewery. It's like, yeah, he's a smoker and a drinker type of pastor. It's like, oh, he likes cigars and beer. Okay. He's a rock and roll pastor.
Well, the monks invented beer, you know, so.
They did. Yeah, exactly. So got to get that Trappist 12.
They couldn't have sex, but they can get drunk.
Exactly. But he's just a pastor. So he's got a family, and his wife is a co-owner, and it's a cool place. And it's so good that they're going to, I guess, host us again next year. They were pretty impressed with what we brought to them, because obviously they didn't even know who we were before December of last year. We just came and kind of solicited them to do the parties there because we lost our last venue. Sadly, the business changed into a different type of restaurant, and we didn't really have a place with our friends at El Chile Group, who hosted us for 9 years. And we were in three different restaurants of that particular restaurant group. There are old friends of Orlando's from high school, and they just didn't have a place for us. They said that they would host us again, but they just couldn't place us anywhere. So we had to go look for other things, and really Lazarus Orlando sent me a picture of it, and I said, that's the place it's going to happen. It's going to happen there, or we're not going to do it at all. That was kind of what it came down to, and they said yes, and that was it, you know. So it was a good year this year. It was a bigger place. We had much more room to roam around, and
yeah, y'all are right there place. Right next to Hotel Vegas. Leo and I walked over to the Thrasher party, the Vans Thrasher party. That was awesome. That place had a half pipe in the back of it too. But so y'all are just right downtown.
Well,
I mean,
well, I wouldn't say we're not. I wouldn't say we're downtown.
Not downtown, but always. I mean, you're really close to the action.
We're close to the
action. Years.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, and that goes with my comment that the downtown aspects of Austin, the cool aspects of Austin, have now shifted into East Austin. And we're still, though, in the 1900 block, strangely enough. Yeah. We've always been in the 1900 block of East Austin. Every party we've ever done was in the 1900 block of East Austin, which is odd. But, you know, we're still as far away from that craziness as possible, but close enough that people don't have to travel for a long time to get there. And, you know, but who knows? Who knows? You know, I don't know if we'll ever do an official party. Maybe we may have to, if we get too big. I don't know. I know
South By was going after the unofficial parties last year, really heavy and trying to make them become official. Even the day parties, they're trying to instill that. And there's two sides of it that I was like, oh, it's kind of wrong. They're like, you know, but at the same time, I can understand that because I rather go to day parties, overnight parties, like, you know, considerably. So if it's like, for me, if I can see everyone during the day, I'm not going to bother. And I'm going to pay to go to see anything at night. You know, so I sort of understand that. The only thing that would make it a bummer is when you tell the band they have to limit how many shows they're playing. Because the whole point of coming to there is to play as much as possible so that you don't miss anything.
Yeah. And see, I think that South by Southwest knows that they have to have some sort of unofficial day party aspects. You know, I don't think they're going to allow like Spin to come out and do an unofficial day party.
Right.
You know, somebody with a big brand, you know, and that's it. You know, Music for Listeners is still a pretty small brand. We don't make money at our show. We don't make, you know, we're not like Spin where we sell a product. We don't do that. You know?
Hey, sorry to disrupt, but Orlando's just here, so I'm going to add him to the call.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Awesome. All right, give it a few seconds.
I guess while we're waiting, so like you guys want to talk about maybe some of the highlighted bands that you saw that made it, you know, really special for you at your event, or?
Yeah, I got my top five that I was able to catch. I'll run them quick. I saw Duran Jones and the Indications twice. They released record, I believe, last Friday. You can't even get it in actual stores, online only right now. But he's kind of that new James Brown soul guy, the new kind of this year's Leon Bridges we were all talking about, at least I was when I was explaining it to people. Girl Ray, who played at Latitude and Mike and Orly's Day Party for MFL. Shopping, I saw at Latitude, a crazy girl rock band from the UK. Just got an unbelievable bass player. Lucy Dukas, I think I'm pronouncing it right. I believe that was her 15th year at South By. She was unbelievable, like a Brandi Carlile type. And a band called Kraus and Leo, if I'm not pronouncing it right, you can help me out.
Kraus, I don't know it.
Experimental
and Brody did see
band from New York that was
Where did see Shane, but he didn't like him. That was everyone's darling, right?
Yeah, I did see Shane with Jamie. They're okay. I wasn't you know, crazy about them, but they're pretty solid. It's just a little dark for me. It's like I'm a darker version of.
You know, it's a punk band.
Yeah, it's like punky.
It's just a lot
flash,
of attitude.
Yeah, I liked it.
Speaking of attitude, man, A Place to Bury Strangers kind of almost burned the place down. It feels like at Lazarus. Oof.
That's normal.
It's their
if
show.
Something doesn't go wrong. It's not a it's not a real show if something doesn't go wrong at one of their shows. So
it seems so. They tripped the breakers once. So
that's
normal.
Well, I'll give you my top five. Like, I have to give first shouts out to my girl Pearl Charles because you know. That was the only band I had this year at officially signed a Canine at South By, which was actually a relief for me. I didn't have to run around as much. She did great. You know, It's like also harder, like when you're not a heavy band, to stand out at something like South By, you know? So that was pretty cool. I loved Hatchie. That was like something I've been dying to see. So like I saw them at your party and another party as well. They're great. It hits my alley up with the 90s kind of indie female fronted rock. I loved Girl Ray, but I've been waiting to see them a while. Our Girl, there's a lot of girl bands this year. Go Girl are fantastic too, as well. And Starcrawler, which I was kind of not sure about the record, you know, but then when I saw them live, I totally got it. It's just like 17-year-old band from LA that's bringing back like kind of like the Iggy Pop, Bowie kind of glammy, like fun stuff. And it was, they're fantastic.
And that's produced by Ryan Adams too.
Yeah, which is weird.
We played them on the show, Mike. It's very glammy. They're on, yep. They were signed by Ref Tree.
I got ants in my home. I got ants in my bones. I got ants when I'm eating. I got ants when I'm dreaming. I got ants when I don't. I got ants when I won't. I got ants on the chair. They bite my cafe. So everything I own and all over my bones. I got ants. I got ants. I got ants.
I love the Melenas from Spain. I loved Girl Ray, and
Girl Ray's got Charles some serious love.
It was fantastic.
And just to be clear, Orly's the mastermind bookie for all the MFL day parties that Mike and Orly have done, and he's the leader of booking all these bands. Do you want to just give a quick talk about some of the things you do to book these bands, Orly, and how you work your magic?
I mean, well, it's just, it was a little difficult this year because we had to wait. We didn't know if we were going to have our parties, you know,
drop out
to get started with booking before the partners were going to say, yes, we were going to do the shows. So like the middle of January, which was already like by that time, I think the third list had already dropped, right, Mike? The third list already.
Yeah, you're dropping out a little bit early, but yeah, I think I got what you said. Yeah, third list.
So it was
third
difficult
list.
Because I didn't know what you know, I was behind, so I had to catch up, you know, trying to book all these bands for the show. So there were a few that we missed that said yes originally that we didn't get, but we got mostly almost everybody that we wanted. There was just a few bands that we didn't get though that I wanted, but. Tried and couldn't get them, but I was very pleased with the lineup this year.
South by Southwest must have changed their policy in the past couple of years to essentially they didn't used to allow bands to get paid for other gigs outside of South by Southwest during the music festival, and now that doesn't seem to be the case. It seems that bands are asking for fees a lot more, and I don't know if that's actually the South by Southwest policy, if they're doing that under the table, or if that's just South by Southwest doesn't care anymore, or they changed that policy. I haven't really researched it enough, but it is interesting because a lot of bands that we asked, they wanted, you know, $5,000-$6,000 to play, which was like, wow, you know, that's wild. You know, it's like, again, we don't make any money, so it's kind of hard to justify paying anything for a band to play because that, you know, we want to give them exposure, but you know, the only place that's making money is the actual place, the actual venue.
Yeah.
So
being on the label standpoint, it's a tough thing for the bands because they're expected to come play 20 shows and all for free.
Yep.
And you know, a lot of these bands are coming from all over the world and it's costing like
$9,000-$10,000 at least. Yeah.
Costing some of these bands that I have from Europe costs some like $20,000 to $30,000, you know? So it's, and then they come and they're dropping this. And then, so if they can get any money back at all from any shows, they're going to try, you know? And it's not that they're trying to be like, oh, I don't appreciate you having me. It's just like, you know, it's like some of these sponsors will pay, like, you know, like Fader will pay, they pay their bands, you know? And like, yep. I've had other bloggers pay, like even if it's $500. And I used to host a lot of day parties as well. I've had to pay some bands like $10,000, you know, and it's like when I really wanted a bigger headliner, you know, we had sponsors. So the sponsors would be like, okay, you know, like we'll do it. So the booking agents and the managers knowing that are going to try, you know, and it's, I think it's fair. I mean, but
it's fair.
Yeah. It's no reflection on not caring about a party like, you know. like the manager of A Place to Bury Strangers, Steven, this guy Mike Bell from and I have started this new event called Colossus, and what we do is like it's the this year was the first year, and it's the weekend before South By, where we put on like all these events. And like this year was our first year, and I did a day party with 14 bands, two floors, you know, two rooms. And the idea is to bring bands from all over on their way to South By. So you can kind of see all these bands that you might be like the tastemakers leading up to South By. And then
everybody that flies into New York on their way to Texas.
There's so many people that come from Europe, even Australia or Canada, and they have to come through anyway via touring or stop through for meetings. And so it gives another outlet for them to network a little bit more and to see stuff that they might, know if it's like worth their time to go follow around South By or whatever, you know, plan stuff. And the vibe is like a lot of, since CMJ went away, a lot of people in New York miss CMJ, like, you know, so they were trying to bring back that kind of vibe again. And this year was a huge success. So next year we'll have more people hosting events like you guys with your good taste, hosting your own party in a...
Where did you guys have the party this year at? Where was it at?
We did it at Pianos in the Lower East Side on Lorimer Street, nice. Which was the center of where CMJ always was, you know. And because you have Mercury Lounge around the corner, you have Cake Shop, which is not there, but you have Arlene's Groceries, and a lot of the hotels host shows as well right around there. So it's like you're basically it's easy because everything's on like 2-block radius.
Can you compare this to the College Music Journal, CMJ versus South by Southwest? What's the difference? And besides from New York and Austin, I mean, what's the big difference you take away from both of these showcases?
For one, they're totally different. They're different beasts. South by Southwest is more of an, if you're not really, really anally organized and come set up knowing what you're going to do, you just get kind of lost in the chaos. Where at CMJ, you can kind of just float around because it's smaller and it's more maintainable. And it's like, it is a lot easier to meet people and network more. You know, I basically just bike around CMJ to each thing, and it's like really easy and fast. The thing about the difference between CMJ and South By that makes it really worldly difference is mostly the weather too. You know, you're in South By, you're in shorts and a t-shirt eating tacos in the sun. But it makes a difference because you can go up to bands and talk straight to them. Where at normal shows in New York, the band doesn't want to talk to you. That, you know, you can't meet their manager, the booking agent, or the label people who are going to be there. No one really interacts in that way. And it's not set up for that. It's set up for like almost like going to a movie where you go exactly when they play and then you leave right away. Where an event like South By, you hang out. And it's like, you know, like you're there more to socialize too, as well as just see a band, and you're there networking, and you're there with a smile on your face. Like I wanted to meet the manager of Hatchie really bad. Didn't even know what he looked like, but I had an idea that must be the guy watching the show. Just went up to him and, you know, he's in a great mood. He's sitting there two tacos and a beer, and he's like, yeah, hey, great to meet you. Who are you again? You know, like that's the beauty of events like that we really, and why we really need them. Like if just me sending him an email and trying to get on the phone with them is much harder. But once I made that first interaction in person.
You know, just since we're talking about K9 Records and everything, you signed some great bands like Grizzly Bear to Chairlift and Surfer Blood or the
Hockey Dad.
Yeah. Do you ever feel bad when they decide to sign to a bigger label?
Well, I mean, yes and no. You know, it's just the nature of the beast. Like, I don't know. Kay and I started K9 together, and we started it more as like, you know, music nerds. And, you know, we've always had a feeling that like, oh my gosh, like if we want our bands to be really excited to be a part of what we're doing and be excited to be a part of K9 as well, because we're really proud of it. And if they get to a point where they feel like they're not happy here or they want to go somewhere else and because we can't provide what they need, then yeah, it's fine. There are times where I'm like, I really think the band would have been better off staying with us, you know? But like in cases like when we had Grizzly Bear in the beginning, we had just started the label. We didn't even know what we were doing, and we wanted them to stay, but I honestly think they probably wouldn't have grown as big if they stayed with us at that time, because we didn't even have like distribution set up. We didn't have like all the contacts ready. You know, we were just still young 20-year-old kids just figuring it out, like, you know, throwing it at the wall, basically coming up with our own marketing strategies. And so, but when there's cases like, I think Chairlift would have been better staying on our label, because I don't think the majors were suited for them. And the same with Surfer Blood. It's a different game for every band. There are bands too where I'm like happy to see them go, because I don't think, you know, it's going to do well anyway on our continuing on you know, a smaller indie. Where we've had bands like Eternal Summers, we put out 5 of their records and they stayed with us all those years, you know, because we worked so well together. And it was, I think that was the perfect combination.
So yeah, it looks like everybody's really hype up on Girl Ray from London. Tell me about them and why you're so excited. And by the way, I did get to see them when they tour here for South by Southwest, because on the way to South by Southwest or away from South by Southwest, a lot of bands tend to tour around this Midwest area, which I really love. I mean, as far as South by Southwest is concerned, I think they can bring in a million bands, and I benefit from it, because obviously a lot of these bands who are here paying thousands of dollars to fly from their country to the U.S. decides to, you know, do a one-off gig or whatever. So I'm pro South by Southwest in that manner. All right.
You know more about it.
And we've been following them since the very beginning, since their first single, Trouble, which we voted as our single of the year back in 2016, so they were on our radar already just when their first single, and their album also was my album of the year. We've been big fans since the very beginning. So when I knew that they were going to be coming, so they were touring with Porches right now in America. So that's their first ever in ours. I jumped up to their manager and invited them to play. They were a must have. They were one of our must haves this year. You know, they're all still under 21. They're very young band, mm-hmm. but they have great songs. Awesome,
catchy songs. Girl Ray was every song they played at our party was dang fine. It was just they just have this, I don't know, it's a little bit of Fleetwood Mac, like old time Fleetwood Mac to me in their music, but also you know, it has a modern quality to it as well. It's just, it's kind of timeless. It's a timeless, they make timeless music. That's what I love about Girl Ray. You can't pinpoint them when they are from, when they recorded their stuff. You know, if you didn't know that this was new music, you could say, oh, well, this was recorded in the 90s or the 80s mm-hmm. or the 70s. You know, you can't really tell that. That's what I like about them personally.
Yeah, I think they sound very unique. Honestly, the first time I heard them, I couldn't like compare them to anybody. And I think that's what makes like a band really special and cool, and makes you want to like look into it even more. Sometimes the bands that you can't figure out in your head, like what's going on, are the ones you end up loving the most.
Yeah, they sneak up on you too. You know? They come around and it's like, wow, this song's really good too. And then, oh, that was even better. You know?
Yeah.
Just the way we
Hey guys, this is coming up on the hour. I just want to thank you guys for being on We Heart Music Radio. Leo, since you're our guest of honor, is there like a band that played at South by Southwest that you want us to play out to? Your dealer's choice.
Yeah, can you play Pearl Charles, Night Tides?
Yeah, whatever
you
want.
That'd be awesome.
Thanks for sending us Pearl Charles, Leo. She was fabulous.
Oh, yeah, she's a sweetheart too.
She is.
Went to Australia for Big Sound, which is like kind of their version of South By. When you go to South By, it's too hard to research all the bands. I try to research some because there's thousands. But when you go to smaller ones like CMJ, Big Sound, or like some of the ones in Halifax Pop Explosion in Canada, I do research every single band that's playing. I go through all of them, and then I make like kind of check mark sheets. And the ones I keep coming back to, I really start focusing and narrowing them down, you know, and like make sure I'm going to go see them. And Hockey Dad, I just kept coming back to because of the songs, purely based on the songs. I was like, these songs, I just won't leave my head. I was lying in bed and they just still wouldn't leave my head. And then I went to meet with them and they were just the coolest dudes, you know, during the day. And then
my jaw dropped catching those guys live. They're just two young kids from Australia, what, 21? They got
their
faces on surfboards and they're on billboards now.
Yeah. I mean, they're they're doing amazing over there. They've blown up into one of the biggest bands in Australia right now, and it's insane. Like, but when I saw them when they were 18, I knew already because they were already so good. But they're a rare case. They have known each other since they were like 4 years old, and they've been playing in bands together since they were like 12. So by the time they came together ready for their first record at 18, they were already there. Like, it was very obvious. And they were hungry. Yeah, I was like, oh, if I work with you guys got to come to New York already and do all this. And they're like, we're already booked. And I was like, all right, this is perfect, you know. But but I find bands all kinds of ways. I mean, I do travel all over the world looking for new talent, you know. I go out in New York, like, when I don't have a broken leg, like, for at least four nights a week, and go to the small venues. And I find the best way to find new bands is really talking to local promoters. I listen to other people's radio shows like yours and like amazing radio in the UK, and listen to what they're hyping, because a lot of them like to hype new bands in the beginning. And, you know, I talk to other bands. Who are you touring with? Who do you like? There's a new band from Canada I'm already interested that was touring with Weaves. And, you know, Weaves were hyping them up to me, and I fell in love. I'm already in love with it. So there's like, I kind of do those ways over looking online. Because the problem is, a lot of the time is when it's already on a blog, it's already someone working it, and, you know, it's too late for me to come. Yeah. For K&I, the exciting part of the label too is finding something when it's fresh and new. And we generally like to find bands on their first record, like, and kind of make it part of like the K&I sound, if that's like, you know, something to say or whatever.